Well, good morning. How we doing this morning? Hey, wow. So I'm not used to waking up to a rock concert or being in a dark room. So my circadian rhythm is way off right now. I got to give it up for the drummer. Let's give it up for the drummer, whoever that was. Yeah. Dude. And he had that World Cup shirt on. For Father's Day, I was gifted. I went and saw Belgium, Iran, and it was an amazing experience. But I did grow up playing soccer, played soccer all my life through college. But I do need to say, I don't know the lead singer who is right here, but I need to know who does his hair in the morning. I got to just wait. Yeah, I bet he just rolled out of bed. It was like that. I mean, come on. These lights are pretty intense. So I am from LA. I am excited to be here. And a couple of things here. This is my family. That's me on the far right. See how my hair. This was during a camp trip. That's my wife in the middle, Julie. Kana, he's here. He's on the far left. Elle. And then Cora. Elle is 12 as of yesterday, and Cora is 10. And I got to figure this thing out. All right. Also, this was just recently, a few of us went surfing. Shane is there in the middle. He's here with us this morning. And then a brother of ours from India who I disciple, his name is Paul. He is there. And we're at the world famous Sunset Point surf spot. And I was just thinking, you know, from LA coming here, we all kind of do this thing that means like hang loose or shaka or like feeling the stoke, you know. And another thing I was thinking of, though, by way of get to know me a little bit, is have you ever seen a hummingbird? And they're so tiny, and they fly up to the nectar, and their wings are just flapping like crazy. And you're like, how is that thing alive? And then it like just sips such little bit through its mouth. Well, that's sea level, and I don't know how high I am right now. I got on a plane with congestion, and all the congestion went into my head. I went and saw a doctor yesterday, and praise the Lord, no infection or anything, no pus and all that. Yeah, but he said, I need you to stay on Sudafed. And that's what Sudafed does to me. But we're sipping the nectar. We're sipping the nectar of the Lord here today. So greetings from LA. And also what I was thinking of with this slide is that I was thinking about how when you catch a really good wave, there's this, this is kind of one of my things. I'm passing it on to you, all right, is to ride the wave, you want to be the guy in the barrel. Some of you may never surf. This may not be an interest to you. That's fine. But I'm going somewhere, is you got to find that perfect balance. It's never perfect. Sometimes the wave comes right over you. And you're like, oh, Lord, I can't believe that just happened to me. And then you paddle back out. Sometimes the waves are really big. You're like, I can't believe I even made it out. And then you get into another wave. And the sweet spot is when you're just right there. And trusting the Lord for me is a lot like that. The walk of faith is a lot like that. I have to trust him for everything. I would love to tell you that I know exactly how to time it so I get right into that wave perfectly. I want to tell you that I know exactly the right timing to pop up and be right. It's called on rail. I want to know exactly how to like get low. And if you're a snowboarder, you kind of know this, but to really get that gyration and get that power off the top. But I'm here to tell you that the Lord is good through it all. And so from LA, ride the wave. All right, that's what we're going to do this morning. A few thoughts here as we get going here. As we go, right, we're here to go out. As we go share the good news, as we go flyer the neighborhoods, do you know that beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. This is referenced in Romans, also Isaiah 52. You have beautiful feet. You're bringing good news. Welcoming feet. You know, of course, there's some context here. Back in this day, you would have wore sandals. Your feet would have been fully exposed. They would have been dirty. But you have good news. You have beautiful feet. All right, this guy, he's like, I know exactly what you're talking about. As we go, do you know we are to go? I thought, oh, wait a minute. Some of us may need to be reminded of that. We are to go and make disciples, teaching them to obey Jesus. That this is a fundamental aspect of what it means to be a follower of Jesus, is to go. As we go, do you know that we are called ambassadors, making an appeal by God's grace for others to be reconciled to God? These are all good verses. I have a question, though, for you, and some of this ties into last night. Because, man, we got to give it up for Steele. Wasn't that passionate and beautiful? Yeah. As we go sharing the gospel of our Lord and Savior, what makes you excited or eager? And this is where I want some interaction. So I can barely see Nathan Hirota there. I'm not calling on you. I'm just saying I can barely see you. What makes you excited? Right? All those verses are true. Hopefully we grow in what those mean for us. But just put your hand up. Tell me your name, where you're from. And I see a couple hands. Name, where you're from, and what makes you excited? Amen. Amen. I saw another hand.
I was going to say the same thing. Titus from Omaha.
Titus from Omaha? All right. That's a yellow card, bro. No, I love you.
I'm Triana from Denver, and I think just watching the gospel change people's lives.
Watching the gospel change people's lives. Amen. Amen. We got one over here. Yeah, to remember how God's changed our lives, to see that change happen in others. Amen. We got one over here. Oh, who is that? Oh, that's my co-pastor, Brian Powers. That's Brian Powers right there, everybody. All right.
I'm also from LA.
Yes.
I would just say to please the Lord.
To please the Lord. Tell me more. I get a pick on him. What does that mean?
I just want to bring a smile on my father's face.
Oh, man. I love you. I miss my dad. My dad passed away about 11 years ago. One of the moments I cherish most. My dad didn't know how to share the gospel. I came to know the Lord later in life, in middle school, high school. And it wasn't until I was in college that I really got to share the gospel with him. And I remember him going, he could not believe. He was like, Greg, you found people that want to follow the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Oh, man. I love you. He made me remember that. What I want you to do is just turn to your neighbor. I want you to pray. I want you to just pray for today. Pray that you would have a genuine excitement. Maybe it's to please the Lord. Maybe it's to see change in others. Maybe it's to be reminded of your own testimony. But just take a couple minutes, and I'll do the interruptive prayer. All right? So go ahead, just two or three people next to you. Pray. Well, Heavenly Father, we do come before you just as your humble creation, as your beloved ones, as ones who have been given life and breath, not by our own will or by our own choice, but by your amazing mercy, your amazing grace. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your kindness. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, that you are the consistent one. Thank you, Lord, that you look at our inconsistencies and you meet us right there. Lord, thank you for every person here, from the youngest to the oldest. Would we learn from you here? Would we go forth in you by the power of your Spirit, renewed in who we are and whose we are, that we are yours, that we are ambassadors with beautiful feet. Oh, man. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would sharpen us to understand our identity in you here this morning. Pray you move me out of the way. I pray, Lord, that you help me to focus and, share the very words of you, Lord, that you might transform us from the inside out. Lord, I thank you, Jesus, for your kindness to us, your brotherhood. You are my Lord and Savior. I thank you so much for this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, today we're going to look at a passage from Matthew, chapter 5, 13 through 20, and I have a lot of slides. I'm going to get through these. Some of these you're going to be like, why'd you go so fast? And partly I am, if you ever heard the difference between a waffle brain and a spaghetti brain, I'm on the spaghetti brain side of things, and having lots of slides actually keeps me focused. And I might read a number of these. I just really want to encourage you to learn, to lean into a posture of learning here this morning, that you would take notes. You can go back to the verses, even as there was some engagement already. I'll ask for some engagement in a little bit. Just to give you context here, in the book of Matthew, you see that the themes of Matthew are really that he is the king. The king has arrived. Of course, the Jews and the whole world, the whole Roman world was, who gets to be king, right? And the people of God right there in Israel, they were eager to see the king arrive. Well, the son of David, the perfect son of David, has come, and one of the themes in the book of Matthew is the kingdom of God, that the kingdom of God is here, the kingdom of God. It goes through these five speeches or discourses. Something that's very important, even as we read this passage together, is to consider that there is a major conflict with the Pharisees of the day. These Pharisees added to the law. They had rules upon rules. And even Steele, as you were going through those slides at the very beginning last night, and all those actors and famous people, they all have added to the law. They have rules that work for them that say what salvation is. They have rules for them what sin is. They have rules for them what it means to be kind. They have rules of what salvation is. We live in a day Pharisees. Of course, Matthew, and in the final chapters, we see he's really preparing his disciples for his departure and the Great Commission, sending us out. The disciples would go forth. We see the Sermon on the Mount is the actual context of what I'm going to read, and he's really given what we'll call the ethic of the kingdom. This is how you should live as a disciple. I was thinking about this morning, the connection to last night, that in Christ, the beautiful one, we are saved. But you should know that you're also being saved. That there's an aspect of as we go, the power of the gospel of grace trains you. It trains us as we go. And my focus here today is going to be on being salt and light in the world. Even my prayer, I want you to leave here more encouraged in your identity as being salt and light. Yes, back to my riding the wave metaphor. We trust in the Lord in everything, and yet you have to paddle. And yet many of the people that have impacted your life opened their mouths. They served you. They taught you. We have to do the same. So let's jump into this. Matthew 5, 13 through 14 is just the beginning. We'll read the whole section. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has become tasteless, oh, I have this little thing. Look at that. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. I'm not going to do that. That's a little distracting for me. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Do not think I've come to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or stroke shall pass from the law until it is accomplished. Whoever then annuls one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever keeps and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. These are the words of the Lord. Amen. As I think about this, I have three or four points here. As I mentioned, take notes. We're going to fly through some things here and we'll pause. I'm kind of like I can get down with some good rock and roll, but I also like a nice, smooth, calming, you know, 80s rock type vibe. So I wanted to start here, Jesus the fulfiller, because in context, how can your righteousness surpass that of the Pharisees? Only in Christ, because we see that he is saying that he has not come to abolish, but fulfill. Well, how in the world does he do that? A few things here. He is the divine standard. Stumbling in just a single point of the law renders a person guilty of breaking all of it. James 2:10. You know, I hear this often. Oh, I'm a good person. Well, a good person according to who? He is the divine standard. He is our sinless Savior. Christ committed absolutely no sin, and no deceit was ever found in his mouth. We see this in 1 Peter 2:22. I'm so grateful. Many of us have already worshiped and sang songs along these lines. We're so grateful. We know that as the brother over here who is on the Roland, you know, he's wearing that death metal shirt called Lamb of God. It's very fierce. But I do think about that. I think about Jesus was the perfect Lamb of God. Everybody in the world is looking for some sacrifice. We have the perfect sacrifice. He's our great representative. He was tempted in all things just as we are, yet he remained completely without sin. Hebrews 4:15. I love this passage. Oftentimes when I'm struggling, which is often, even today, I'm already thinking, oh man, I don't know if I'm really excited to go pass out flyers. And I remember, he's my representative. Whoever I go up to today, he's my representative. I want to point to him. The great exchange. He who knew no sin became sin on our behalf so that we might receive the righteousness of God in him. 2 Corinthians 5:21. And I do think about this. I think about most people, and even in my own coming to Christ, it was John 10:10 was my life verse. For the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come to give life and give it to the fullest, or to give abundant life. And I had known stealing. I'd known lying. A friend of mine in middle school was murdered. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I had friends who were studying the Quran, thought this is back in the 90s, you know, wore the Malcolm X caps and thought, oh man, this is going to be cool. It's cool to, you know, think of yourself as Muslim because Muslim, well, it's a works-based righteousness. And a lot of my homies or people that I hung around with, they wanted to, you know, be straight edge. They wanted to work hard. They wanted to meet a divine standard they could never meet. When I found that verse, I said, man, Lord, would I not look to this world? Romans 1 says this, would I not exchange the glory of God for this fleshly living? Would I look to you? That's the great exchange. My life's never been the same. I went to college, and I think the Lord really gripped my heart in college. I'm so grateful for this movement of churches, and it was really me going on college campus. I had a discipler in high school. His name was Dave Vogt, and he was so good at just coming alongside me, putting his arm around me, and I didn't know anything. I would tell him what I did with some friends, and he would say, you know, Greg, that might be what the Bible calls questionable. He was so gentle. We'd look at the Bible, I'd be like, bro, that's wrong. I got to college and met other men that discipled me and was so excited to run with them and to really run in the glory of God. And so one of the questions I have for us this morning is, as you go sharing the gospel of our Lord and Savior, will you commit to making it your greatest goal to give him the glory? To give him the glory. He's the fulfiller. Oh, steal. He needs to print that off. Everything he shared last night towards the end about God in engineering, God in the arts, God in creation, God in biology, God in service, right? Do you see Jesus in the things that you're doing? I put versus our own comfort, our own fears, or influence from the world. Any number of what-if questions. I do want you to take just 10 seconds and say, what are the what-if questions that you face? But what if I get rejected? What if this doesn't pan out for me? What if my life isn't glorious? What if I stumble? All kinds of what-ifs are going to come to your mind today. Go ahead and write those down. Write them down. What are your what ifs? See, there is an exchange that really has to happen. It has to happen by a commitment, and it has to happen by you knowing, I have this what if. I'm giving it to you, Lord. I'm committing to you. I'm committing to the fulfiller. Because see, as we go, Jesus says that you're the light of the world. This word for world in the Greek is cosmos. And it refers to humanity organized in rebellion against God. Steele, are you in here? Steele, would you look up John 15, 18 through 19? And I'm going to ask you to stand up and read that real loud. One of the things that we have to understand as believers, we are called out of darkness. When I went to college, all because of that guy, Dave Vogt, I didn't know really, my parents had taken me to church, but I didn't really know what a vibrant, life-giving, on-mission, discipling church looked like. And when I found that in college, it changed my life. Steele, read those verses real loud.
15, 18 through 19.
Yeah.
If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world will love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world
thank you, brother. I was thinking of that last night, that was part of his whole message. The beautiful one, right? The beautiful one is that you know you have the light of the world, And it should be no wonder when people say to you, like George Clooney or whoever was saying all kinds of things, you know, like I just think, oh man, you are called out of darkness into a wonderful light. So what you're going to come into a confrontation with is the rebellion against God. Oh, brothers, sisters, do not be surprised by that. See, the world system is characterized by at least these four things: spiritual blindness, moral darkness, falsehood, hatred of God. You see this in all these verses. You may meet somebody this afternoon that says, you know, I'm really not interested. And you might avoid conflict, like most of us. But I want to inspire you here to say, you know, I wasn't interested either until someone asked me to be interested. Do not be surprised by pushback. When I went to college, I was asked to be an RA. I was trying to figure out how to pay for college. I went to the Ball State University in Indiana. I know some of you guys know the glory. And it was like the number one party school in Indiana at the time. And like the GPA was so low that you could get scholarships from David Letterman, you know, if you were a C average student. It's like we want to reward that. You know, this is not this intense of a school. This is party school. And I was trying to figure out how to pay for college. I was taking the class to become an RA, and in the middle of becoming an RA, I got the call. Usually you have to complete the class to then become an RA. In the middle of the class, I got the call. Hey, Greg, we need you. I was playing soccer for the school, so, you know, the call-up in a different way came to mind. I didn't know what I was getting myself into. You know, this is Ball State University. I found this picture online. I don't think that fire pit was there when I was there. And I was in a dorm about 4 or 5 stories. And come to find out, I was asked to be on a floor where the RA and the residents were going back and forth doing mean, evil tricks on each other. It might be too early for this, but I'll just say it. You know, like putting feces in trash cans and leaning the trash can up against the RA's door. So when the RA opens the door, what comes into his room? Well, that RA decided to play a trick and had a mandatory meeting, and everybody on the floor showed up, and he put a little bit too much X-lax in the brownies that everybody ate, and he got fired. I got the call. I went to that floor not knowing any of that story. I was eager beaver. Oh, yeah, I don't know how I'm going to pay for school and all these things. I can't wait to be there. There was a lot of darkness on that floor. A lot of guys going out doing drugs, a lot of guys doing evil things. Of course, they had a pattern of doing evil things. They thought it was funny to do evil things. I left my dorm room door open every night because I knew the only way for me to build trust is to be seen, is to be in relationship with those that were in darkness. And I say were in darkness because over time I saw a number of them come to know the Lord, and the Lord really gripped my heart that semester, and it's not unlike this picture. There's like one dot in that dorm that's lit up. That's me. I'm on my knees praying. I'm praying for the campus. I'm saying, Lord, I want to be a light for you. I want your people to be a light for you. I want the guys on my dorm floor to come to know you. And I'd look out, and sometimes I just see all darkness. And sometimes I see a little bit of lights. And the Lord gave me a vision then. Go set a fire. Go start more lights. Go be the light to this dark campus. And by his grace, kind of like this little fire pit, I saw a number of people come to know the Lord, and fellowship started. And it was really amazing. Brothers, sisters, you take the light with you wherever you go. See, believers function as light by proclaiming the truth. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. See, the church reflects his light by proclaiming his truth, not your own message. If you have a testimony, it's a testimony of you turning from sin and darkness and stepping into his wonderful light, being saved by his grace. Secondly, we do expose darkness. Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead expose them, Ephesians 5:11. See, light reveals what darkness seeks to hide. There's a guy on my floor, probably 2 a.m, sharing the gospel. The door was open. This guy had a very rigorous Jewish background, very secular. And we talked for a long time. It was a wonderful conversation. Another guy came in, interrupted us, and he left. And the next day, he came to my room, and he said, hey, Greg, could you tell me what you were sharing with that brother or that other guy on our floor? He wasn't a brother yet. His name is Nick Lee. And Nick Lee and I walked through the gospel. And the deeds of darkness that were exposed on that floor and in his own heart, he came to Christ. It wasn't the guy who I thought I was sharing with. This guy came to me. Someone you meet today, it may not be that person. It may be the person they meet. Thirdly, we display kingdom character, humility, mercy, purity, peacemaking. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works, Matthew 5:16. Light makes God visible through truth and transformed lives. All right, so that's me and my son. As I mentioned, I played soccer through college, and then in L.A., we found a soccer league called AYSO. Anybody ever done AYSO? Yeah, oh, okay, hey, I'm getting good company. So AYSO for me was a total foreign mission field because I didn't grow up on AYSO. The idea of parents volunteering, this was like, what is this world? What are four quarters? Which, of course, now we have four quarters of the World Cup. Oh, man. So I'm coaching because as parents, you volunteer at AYSO. So I have that shirt that says, I coach, you cheer, they play. This is my one way to heaven picture. Lots of people are going to be doing different things on the field. Parents may cheer most of the time. Parents, please just cheer. Players play. I want to encourage you to realize that even on the field of life, you are going to have a different role. That's probably why I chose this picture. You may have a different role. You may actually be, as we go out on Saturday sharing, you may say, hey, I'm going to pray for, you may go in a group of three, and one of you may just pray while the other two are initiating. I call that being a cheerleader. Some of you maybe have never shared the gospel before. You need that coach to say, come with me. I want to model for you how I'm going to initiate. You need a coach. But we all are out there. We're all proclaiming his truth. We're exposing darkness. We're getting to be the body of Christ on mission. I also put this picture here because Cana, that season, all three of my kids play soccer. Cana and I also referee, you know, so that's a lot of fun. So when you talk about yellow and red cards, I mean, Cain is one of the best, too. He is a stickler. He is so good. Actually, I have many parents that come up to me and are just like, man, your son, he is so mature. He handles those calls so well. I'm so encouraged with him. And but this season, he was really learning to do longer kicks, really get the ball up in the air, right? You know, we even saw some of these goals here recently. I call them side netters or top bins. You know, they like come in from the side. One happened by, I think it was, his name is Enzo on Argentina from outside the box and across and then hit the side netting in the upper right. And Cana had a free kick. And I don't know what came over him. The Lord's grace. But from the left flank, up in, over the goalie, and into the top bin. And I think Kanan couldn't even believe it. And we hadn't talked about his cheer. Anybody practice your cheers? I have three, right? And I think especially my youngest, she likes to practice her cheers. And Kanan, he just was jumping, he was cheering, and then he just ran, he went like this. I didn't even know what he was doing. I was overwhelmed with joy. I was like, I can't believe it just went in. Oh my gosh. You know, everybody on the team was cheering, and here he is in the middle of the field because he just ran. He come to find out, he told all his teammates, I just give glory to God. My Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Yeah. As we go, sharing the gospel of our Lord and Savior, what truth do you want others to know? My hope and prayer is as you go, there'd just be so many moments like this. All right, so you could tell, like, I've already given you this. Ride the wave. I've given you this. I want you to be leaning into learning. What is it going to mean for you? You got to personalize this. What is the aspect of Jesus' truth you want others to know? That's the light. Secondly, we are the salt of the earth. So this word earth in Hebrew or Greek refers to the created order, humanity's realm, the land or in the inhabited earth. And so you see the purpose of salt is when Jesus says you are the salt of the earth, salt preserves food from decay and significantly, hey, I'm here to say significantly improves the flavor of steak. Most food, my wife, she's like, you're so salty. I just put salt on everything. I could wake up and have a salt lick next to my bed. Joking about going to the ocean, just drinking it in, but don't do that. So of course, back in Jesus' day, salt was much more preservative. We have refrigerators, these sorts of things. We don't often think about this. But when Jesus is saying that, in that context, again, in light of the Pharisees, in light of Roman rule, in light of a called out people, right there, what is he saying? You're the salt of the earth. You're going to preserve something. You're going to improve the flavor of something. Salt preserves only by being distinct and intact. To affect the world, we have to remain uncompromised and engaged. Brothers, sisters, do you think on that dorm floor I was tested? Yes, I was. Because I'm not consistent. I'm inconsistent. There are guys on that dorm floor that only came to Christ because they confronted me because I didn't follow through on something in my job. And I said, I did. I failed. I want to do better. And this guy Renzo got to have a long conversation. And I think about him to this day. But it only happens because I kept pointing to Jesus. I didn't make it about me. I didn't shudder. I didn't argue, debate, make it about him. I made it about Jesus. I want to preserve something. I want to be distinct. See, of course, salt, we got any bakers in the place? I know Kate Powers makes amazing sourdough bread. We got any bakers in here? Who likes to bake? Yeah, oh, awesome, right? We do pizza nights at my house, and we make our own pizza dough. And, you know, I like to put the water and the salt together first and let that salt dissolve. You can't do that. You can't let your saltiness dissolve. The saltiness has to remain intact. So a few ways that we see this. Believers function as salt. They preserve human society. We have examples of this in the Word. We see this in Noah before the flood, Lot in Sodom, Abraham's intercession, Genesis 18. I want to camp here because even coming here, I'm praying for L.A. L.A. is I could throw a rock and hit 35 needs out of my door. It's just so overwhelming. Brothers, sisters, I am excited to be there, and I'm continually overwhelmed. Someone asked me yesterday, hey, if I come and visit, do you have a place for me to stay? I said, I made a bad joke. I said, well, I mean, in our city, everybody's got a place. I mean, under freeways, in tents, I mean, we got a place. I want the Lord to move in L.A. During COVID, I know so many people that just left the city. They said, we just can't do it. And honestly, being salty is what inspired me to say, I'm going to stay in the city. Abraham, he said to God, he said, just give me so many, right? Would we pray today for this afternoon? Lord, just give me three. Our saltiness preserves truth in human history. The church functions as the pillar and support of the truth. 1 Timothy 3:15. This book is really encouraging. 32 Christians who changed the world. Says a Viking who sailed to America, a prisoner who transformed an African kingdom, the daughter-in-law of Genghis Khan. What do all these people have in common? Surprisingly, belief in Christ. We bought a building a little over a year ago, and it doesn't look like this anymore. But the walls were totally torn down, and we gutted this whole thing. There are beams in the middle right there that are no longer there. That was all termite infested, so we put in a new beam. And this whole building is completely different. A year to the day, we got to do our Sunday service in this room. Yeah, amen. And it has taken so much work. Brothers and sisters, riding the wave of faith takes a lot of work. Just a couple weeks ago, during the World Cup in L.A., we had a team of 18 from Phoenix out. Yeah, Phoenix. Woo! Yeah. And they split up two teams. They did different kinds of outreach. And they shared the gospel. They had so many gospel shares. It was awesome. So many relationships. They met for coffee. They followed up with them at the end of the week. They did a big meal. It was beautiful. But you know, one of the things that stood out to me is this right here is Shane. It just went right to you. That was awesome. And Shane works at the Chic Filet. And they had gone out sharing together with Shane. He was part of it. And that evening when he was on a shift, they chose to give up some of their free time. Free time. What is free time? They chose to go and encourage him on the job. What do you think his coworkers are saying about him now? The saltiness was right there. All right, so we preserve human society. We preserve truth in human history. Preserve the coming of the new creation. We ourselves having the first fruits of the Spirit, Romans 8:23. I'm going to keep moving. So as we go sharing the gospel of our Lord Jesus, Lord and Savior, how will you treat your brothers and sisters? Look for opportunities to bless, serve, and bring God's goodness to each other as you go. As you go. I'm going to land the ship here. In a world characterized by hatred, Christians demonstrate love. In a world characterized by falsehood, Christians demonstrate truth. In a world characterized by death, Christians proclaim the resurrection. Light shining disciples push back the darkness of the world system. We share Jesus and make disciples. Salty disciples distinctively stay uncompromised, fulfilling our preserving and flavorful purpose. We impact and bring life in the midst of our fallen humanity and human society. We haven't talked much about this verse, but our conference, Not Ashamed, is based on Romans 1:16 and 17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith. Brothers, sisters, last night you maybe remember the moment you put your faith in Christ. I remember John 10:10. That's my life verse. I remember just being a nerdy skater kid in seventh grade with pimples. And I hurt and I was lonely and God gripped my life. I remember in high school, friends of mine couldn't believe I was reading the Bible. I sat down with them. I said, let's read the book of John together. No one told me to do that. I just wanted to share Jesus with them. Of course, you heard some of my life in college. It's all faith, and all of that happens through a lot of trials, a lot of waves that are going to come crashing down. Losing my dad 11 years ago was a total surprise. Getting hit by a car 5 years ago. I can't even realize, I still have brain issues because I got hit by a car. I stumble and fall all the time. I love refereeing, but man, I tell you what, being out there refereeing, there's so much anxiety. I get parents yelling at me. I want to do better. It's all by faith, though. What's it say? From faith to faith. Would you go forth today in faith? I want to leave you with this. What will it look like for you to take faith during this DTC? What I want you to do is turn to your friend, whoever you prayed with before. I want you to pray this prayer. Lord, give me faith for today. If you have an idea what faith looks like for you, pray for that, because it's going to have to take faith. All right, and Aaron, I think, is going to come up and do an interruptive prayer. All right, so turn to your neighbor, pray. Pray for today. Pray to walk by faith.